So we're still on rebuilding the ruins of the city. Isaiah 61 from verse 1, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord God, is upon me, because the Lord had anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He had sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourning Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old wastes. They shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations." It's part of our calling in Christ. Amen. "And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But you shall be named priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God, and you shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in the glory shall ye boast yourselves. For your shame you shall have double, and for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them." Hallelujah. Praise the Lord Jesus. When things go wrong, God is always able to fix it. If we're willing to go God's way, hallelujah, God is always willing and able to fix it. But we need to do things God's way. There's a way to do things that isn't God's way. And when it isn't God's way, whatever the outcome is left to the person or the thing that we followed. Praise the Lord. Those who follow dumb idols forsake their own mercies, the Bible says. Glory be to God. But as believers, we follow God's plan, and we need to know what that is, what to expect, and stuff like that when things have gone wrong. If somebody is an unbeliever or does not know the Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot suddenly begin to want to blame God when you've never listened to him. I'm going to look at some things today, hallelujah, about the steps we need to take when we want to rebuild a destroyed life. This ruined city could be a destroyed life. Broken marriage, broken families. It could be anything. A destroyed business. Whatever it is, it may have started well, but now it doesn't look too good. Hallelujah. One of the things that we first need to do is to ask ourselves, where are we right now? What's my current state? Am I saved? And somebody says, what does that even mean? Well, are you born again? I say, wow, that's even, you know, bigger than the first one. Okay, you need to turn your life over to Jesus and have God come into your life and be your Lord and personal Savior. He comes with a lot of good things for those who are not saved. He comes with a lot of good things. Those who are already saved and missed it, and these things began to happen, should also take similar steps. Rededicate your life to Christ and listen to him and do what he says. When he says, take up your cross and follow me, that following means to obey. Amen? To obey his instructions. Jesus is our life coach. He's our Lord and our life coach. He's the one who tells us what to do by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit operates just like Jesus. He's the voice of Jesus in our spirits. Amen. Hallelujah. God's written word, I want you to write this down, is God's will and testament, or his covenant with us, or with anyone who wants to be involved with him. This is his written contract. Praise the Lord. It tells us the conditions for the contract. The Bible tells us God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, should not be destroyed, but have eternal life. Amen. Now, it is on the basis of the covenant or the contract, the eternal contract in the blood of Jesus, that we, God relates with us. If you come to God, you must believe that he is. And then you must have faith, believe that he is. If you don't believe that God is, then you're not part of the contract. And you can't blame a God that you don't believe in if something goes wrong. That is so irresponsible. Some people like to do that. Now, if we do something wrong, we should repent. Take responsibility for our role or our actions or our part in bringing the negative circumstances that we are in right now. The first thing is to say, I did foolishly. I didn't do well. So, we should do what God says and how God said to do it. Amen? If you went to a hospital or to a doctor and he gave you prescription and you went out to the pharmacy and you filled it out, as we do here in America, all right, and you took it home and he says, take one in the morning and one at night. Then you took three in the morning, two at night. Are you going to be well? No. Other things are going to come up. Glory be to God. Why? You did not do things after due order. Now, in Psalm 119 and verse 67, it says, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept thy word. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. So, if you go astray, you will be afflicted. Suffering will come. Whether you're a Christian or an unbeliever, when you start doing things that are wrong, affliction will come. Let's say, you know, you had some money to pay your electricity bill and stuff like that, because this is how trouble comes sometimes, and to pay your utilities and all of that, and you like to pay half of it because you want to buy a pair of shoes, so you pay half of that, and a little bit of the other one, and what happens is it starts building, right? It doesn't stop. And maybe when you now went to the store to buy the shoe, it was more than you anticipated. And they said, put it on a store card. You know what I mean? It's credit card. Then you put it there. You see how trouble has come from nowhere, all right? And as you're going, some of that thing creeps up. Maybe before the end of the month, the tire blew out, and then you now had to fix it. You see, trouble is coming. What happened? Because of one's decisions, contrary decisions, trouble has come. Decisions brought us to where we are. The prodigal son, for example, when he left, he took his goods from his father. That we find that in Luke chapter 15. I'm not going to, time will not permit us to read all of it, but you can read it. All right. This prodigal son went out there and squandered his father's wealth. The money that was supposed to be his inheritance, he took it ahead of time and spent it on prostitutes, gambling, all kinds of things. He wasted his resources, his father's wealth, and his own. Hallelujah. Then he started begging. He became a panhandler. And after a while, he decided to get a job. Perhaps he didn't much go to school because he was spoiled. He decided the only job he could get was to work with pigs. And he was, oh, praise the Lord. He was eating of the food that was meant for pigs. After a while, the Bible says he came to himself and said, how many in my father's house have servants have more than enough to eat, and I'm here suffering? He said, okay, I know what to do. I will go back to my father. And when I get there, I'm not going to say it was you who caused the problem. If you had trained me well, these things would not happen. It was because you were busy following your business. You were an absentee father. That was why this thing happened. That was not what he said. He went there and he humbled himself and said, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. He was humble. The Bible says that a broken and a contrite spirit, God will not despise. It is important for us to say these things because people come to church feeling like, you know, they are doing God a favor by coming to church. You're not doing God any favors. He loves you. He cares about you. But you're not doing God any favor by being in church. Hallelujah. Or coming to hear his word. You do it for your own benefit. Amen. Hallelujah. And so his father forgave him, received him gladly, and took care of him. And a a couple of verses before that, you will see that Jesus was talking about one sheep that was lost and how that the shepherd left the 99 and went for one that was lost. But the prodigal son was the one who went back to his father. Was Jesus saying something different? No, he wasn't. The man was concerned for his son, but his son has a will. Hallelujah. His son does what? Has a will. There are people who will go everywhere else than go to the house of God and still want God to take care of business. It doesn't work that way. The Bible says, can two work together except they be agreed? You have to be in agreement with God. Otherwise, his things will not work for you. One, you will not know what they are to be able to do them. Praise the Lord. I'm sure we have dealt with that issue now. Praise the Lord Jesus. So repentance from whatever it is that created that situation is essential. Hallelujah. We don't remain work in progress forever. Now, if you're not saved and you say, I don't know what to do right now, God wants you to give your life to Jesus, so that he can have the legal right to do what he needs to do in your life. And what is that? Let us look at Ezekiel chapter 36 and from verse 26. Let me start it from verse 24. It says, I will take you from among the heathen, gather you out of all countries and bring you into your own land. Amen. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you. When you come, become born again, this new heart comes into you. And a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. And I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you shall keep my judgments and do them. And you shall dwell in the land that I give to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I'll be your God. I will also save you from all your uncleanliness, and I will call for the corn and will increase it, and lay no famine upon you. Praise God. And I will multiply the fruit of the tree and the increase of the field, that you shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. Praise the Lord Jesus. So he says, I will save you. I will put a new spirit inside of you. Hallelujah. And I put my own spirit inside you, God says, and that spirit will cause you to do my will, to do his will. The Bible tells us in the New Covenant, it says in the New Testament, it says, for it is God that worketh in us, both to will, it said to will and to do of his own good pleasure. Praise the Lord. That's what he's talking about. So the Holy Ghost that is in us will cause us to do God's will. Amen. Without that, you cannot obey, you cannot do God's word. You can't, that's why it's not a reform. You're not trying to reform anything. No, it is a new birth, a new species of being. You become a new creature. You have to be that new creature. The old man cannot enter the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So it brings along with it prosperity. Praise the Lord Jesus. So God, when things go wrong, and when we sincerely repent and identify what was wrong, hallelujah, and we're repenting from it, and we come back to God, he will abundantly pardon. The Bible says that. God always forgives us. He's willing to forgive. He's more willing to forgive than he is willing to judge or destroy. He only judges because there's nowhere else to go. Now, note this. When God builds, he builds it better, stronger than it ever was. If God gets a second chance at rebuilding a destroyed life, he does it better. When God rebuilds, he rebuilds better than it ever was. That's what he does. He will take a destroyed life and fix it. Amen. It's important for you to have that at the back of your mind when you start dealing with God. In Haggai chapter 2, verse 9, it says, "The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. In this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts." What was he doing? There was a former house. It was destroyed. The temple was destroyed. Glory be to God. He says, "Don't remember the former things anymore. Don't let it come to your mind. I do a new thing." God always says that. It's important for us to know what he's thinking. And these things are not mysterious. You know, God's ways are mysterious, you know, and all of that. You can, you know, his ways are not our ways, you know. I start thinking like that. No. All of God's contract with us is written in the Bible. So, we come to God. And the Lord begins to tell us how to do things again. Hallelujah. You come back to God. Say, "Father, I missed it. I messed up. Forgive me. Take me back and help me." And God will be glad to do it. I've never seen someone who forgives like God. I've never seen someone who's ready to help like God. Hallelujah. God is a good God. One quality that God has is that he is good. He's a good God. Everything he does out of his goodness. And that goodness comes out of his love nature. So, for us to begin to rebuild the house, we need God. We go to him. We hear him. He takes us in. We go into the word. Now listen, there's something about God I want to say. You don't have to feel it to believe it. We believe it to see it. Now, did I just come up with that maybe from my experience and all of that? No. Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Jesus speaking says, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, wait until you see it, then acknowledge it." Is that what he says? He says, "Believe that ye receive them." That you believe, you believe. To believe is not seeing. You know, the world says seeing is believing. What you see, you do not need to believe because you now know it is there. All right? We believe things that we do not see, that are not apparent to the senses. That's where believing comes in. We talk about God, we talk about believing because we do not see him physically. Amen? So, he says, "What things ever ye desire when ye pray." I have prayed for something. I have not seen it yet. I don't feel it yet. But God says to believe, that the minute I asked, I should believe. He said, what will happen is that I will now receive it. If I accept that it is mine, it becomes mine. Not before. So if I'm praying, say, "Lord, fix my marriage, fix my situation, fix my finances. I'm talking to God about it. I know I messed it up, Lord. I carry this care of all this messed up finance and I put it upon you." The Bible says, casting your cares upon him because he careth for you. Don't look at it from the perspective of your feelings. You know, write down the date you give it to God. When you begin to practice or learn these things, there's an effort to it. Say, "On June 9th, by 3 p.m., I handed over my marriage to God." I said, "This man that is acting weird, Lord, handle this weirdo." Now, do you think that the minute that you say that, the devil will leave you alone? He will come back to you and say, "Look, there's a problem. You need to worry. You don't look worried. You need to worry more than you've ever worried. What is he trying to do? He's trying to tell you to take it back from God. The minute you start worrying, you've taken it back from the Lord. And God is a faith God. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So he is a faith God. And faith is personal. It's a matter, it's a transaction between you and God. Faith is one. Hallelujah. You can't build back without faith. So, I believe God is with the problem. God cares for me. He cares more about me than I care about myself. Hallelujah. He cares more. The reason is that I'm standing on the integrity of his word. I'm God's responsibility. When I do God's will, I become his responsibility. In all these things, we have our role to play. First role is that I believe God. God is real. God cares for me. God loves me. I believe in the love that God has for me. And so I've carried this care and I put it upon the Lord. He's with it. I'm no longer with it. He said, I heard that this happened with you. No, I'm not going to worry about it. He's in God's hands. Every time you have an opportunity to worry, the enemy wants to attack your faith. You must resist that.